She got her renewal quote, $48,000 for premiums for the year and $13,000 maximum out of pocket for her family, which she anticipated meeting. So that's $61,000.
Me and my family, we know that we save on average probably around $20,000 a year. And yet, Baruch Hashem, whenever there was an issue, this, the kindlach, it's covered.
We have one member right now who needs a refuah shleima, was diagnosed with a very serious brain tumor. And one of the major medical referral agencies told him that for his particular illness, the best treatment that's available for him is an experimental treatment that can be administered only in England. Mm. It's over $100,000. We're getting closer now to about $150,000. Likely not covered by any insurance company, both because it's experimental, out of the country, and we're footing the bill.
And on the ads, you write, United Refuah is not an insurance company. So, but meanwhile, people want to make sure that they're covered. It seems too good to be true. United Refuah Health Share. So many in our community have heard about it, and they're thinking, is this really a great option for me? It sounds too good to be true. My healthcare needs are covered, and it's a fraction of the cost. This show is going to address all the tough questions that you have about this fascinating invention, United Refuah Health Share. Having the schuss to catch up with Rav Moshe Katz, CEO of United Refuah. Rav Moshe, thank you for sitting down on this edition of Mind Your Business.
It's a pleasure, Yitzchak. It's an honor to sit with you, to spend some time with you.
I want to share that we reached out to United Refuah. Why? Me and my family was lucky to be part of United Refuah probably for around close to the beginning of United Refuah. You started around 8 years ago. We're maybe 6-7 years in. And I hope it's okay that, again, we'll still remain friends after this interview, but we reached out and said, you know what? There may be, I don't know if the word is confusion, misunderstanding. How in the world is it possible that there is an organization, United Refuah Health Share, which runs in its ads, and we're going to get to it later in the show, a note that it's not insurance. However, you solve a very serious issue regarding healthcare-related costs, and you solve it at a fraction of the price. It seems too good to be true. So I hope it's okay. I'm going to be asking a lot of, if it's okay, pointed questions. But first, let's go back to the very beginning. Soif Maisa b'machshava tchila. How did it all start?
Okay. So you start off with a very good psicha, very good introduction.
Thank you.
That's what they call the elephant, right?
Yes.
The elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room. Let's go straight in.
How did it start? With a group of community leaders, a group of community activists who understood that there was tremendous pain in our local community in Cleveland and in the Jewish community nationwide in managing healthcare expenses in an affordable way. The healthcare need is not something that can be ignored. It's no less important, if not even more important, than certain other discretionary expenditures. We're not talking about summer camp. We're talking about the basics.
This is vital.
Housing, healthcare, food, tuition.
Health.
Those are the four big categories that the average Jewish family spends the bulk of their income on.
Right.
And the healthcare expenditures were just growing and growing every year. If you look back from 10 years ago to where things stand today, the increase is incredible. The fixed expenses, the out-of-pocket expenses, the employers that have cut benefits to employees, the ones that used to give excellent plans, that no longer provide that level of subsidy or no longer provide any plan. And they saw the pain was great. And at the same time, they also saw that there was a solution that existed outside the Jewish community. That solution was a nonprofit solution.
Okay.
Healthcare sharing in healthcare expenses in a nonprofit model, which the government only allows to take place under the framework of religious beliefs. That means the government understands that there are certain religions that within the framework of the religion, we agree to share in each other's burdens in different ways. So the government allows a healthcare sharing ministry to be formed, HCSM, which means people with shared religious beliefs come together to share in each other's medical expenses without any investors, without any overhead other than running the program, the costs of salaries for your employees. There can't be any for-profit locked in that's milking the revenue, milking the profits, knocking things up in a way that's going to generate profits the way an insurance company is formed. Again, they're for profit. We can talk about that separately. And they saw that that model only works right now outside the Jewish religion. There was no option within the Jewish religion for healthcare sharing to take place.
So again, so to understand, the government would allow certain, let's say, religions to have its own health share group, which then would allow other members to share in the expenses. And then therefore, this is outside traditional insurance.
Correct. We don't use the word alternative to health insurance. We don't use definitely not the word health insurance. It's an alternative way to manage healthcare expenses. Mm-hmm. For example, when there was a federal healthcare mandate that you had to have insurance, otherwise there was a penalty. Right. Anyone who was a member of a healthcare sharing ministry that qualified using all the IRS qualifications, the five rules, one of them is you have to be a nonprofit and you have to perform an annual audit. You have to keep people on the program, even if they develop a medical condition, you cannot terminate them, and two other conditions. The government's fine with anyone with the same religious beliefs come together, not pay the penalty. You're exempt as long as you're part of a group that takes responsibility for each other's medical expenses under this framework.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask a straight question. So again, a group of Halakha Yidden came together from Cleveland, I think, right? Baruch Chaim Manis.
The visionary, the founder, the chairman founder, of the board.
Who saw this need, and yet there was no health share for the Jewish community.
Correct.
So he started putting two and two together. Like, how did
he
this
saw
happen?
That in order for a Jewish person to take advantage of the benefits of healthcare sharing, which primarily is the healthcare cost savings, they would have to go and figure out a way to join another religious group's healthcare ministry, which, again, it depends how you define their religious beliefs. Are they vague? Are they specific? But either way, they were not in full alignment with Jewish beliefs. And it got more and more complicated the more people looked into it, that this is really not our religion, and that's not the intention of healthcare sharing. The intention of healthcare sharing is really to come together under the religious beliefs that you truly believe in, you truly share in. And because of that, after exploring the different options that were available, first to see if we can open up as an umbrella of an existing healthcare sharing ministry with Jewish people mm-hmm. using Jewish beliefs, which over a period of time prior to our inception, we saw that that was not a realistic way to operate for many reasons. We had the Siyata Deshmaya to find the methods that were necessary to implement a healthcare sharing ministry exclusively for the Jewish community nationwide.
Wow. Now, if it's okay, I'm just going to ask a marketing question.
Sure.
And that is, so you're coming into the market. I imagine this may even be a question till today, but especially in the beginning. So you're coming into the firm market with an incredible solution for Kleinara, large families to have a great, and we're going to get to, you know, the price difference is like unbelievable, is a fraction of traditional insurance. And yet you're communicating a concept, and even on the ads, to strengthen my question, on the ads, you write, United Refuah is not an insurance company. So, but meanwhile, people want to make sure that they're covered. And we're going to get to those details later, but here you have this like, what's going on? People are coming in with like questions, like, wait a second, like, what exactly is this? And at the end of the day, if chas v'shalom lo yaleinu, there's an emergency, a health emergency, will I be covered?
Right. Okay. So, hakdama.
Yeah.
We're very careful to stay away from insurance terminology. We can make analogies if we speak out very clearly that our intention is not to infer any type of insurance concept directly. Mm-hmm. But the word coverage is something we stay away from. We use the word sharing because covered is a guarantee type of word, and we stay away from guarantees. Similar deductible, copay, coinsurance, all these words we stay away from. We have similar terms which clearly indicate that it's sharing concepts, not coverage concepts.
Okay.
Now, your question about the marketing side, going back to April 2018, when we brought the first set of ads under the guidance of bottom line marketing to the market. We were not introducing crustless bread, which the need is clear. Nobody likes the waste of the crust. Nobody likes the effort involved in having to cut off the crusts every morning. Simple problem, easy solution. You understand what it does. You understand.
Yeah.
No problem. The jelly that doesn't stick to your fingers, we understand. Over here, we're talking about life and death. We're talking about people's concern for their health, people's concern for their life, not just for a well visit, but chas v'sham, like you said, a critical event, an accident, an illness, serious things, which is what people pay for insurance coverage for. We needed to introduce that there is another concept, there is another way where a person can feel comfortable that their medical needs will be met. And the primary way of conveying that information is by showing that you're a community that cares.
Right.
And at the end of the day, what we care about as a Jewish community coming together is that the outcomes of every healthcare expense and every healthcare decision should bring about the best health outcome. And when you convey that message accurately and you convey it in a way with building trust with your members from one story to the next story to the next story, that is the way that you can convey this concept of health cost sharing to be a viable method of managing healthcare expenses and not an irresponsible way of managing healthcare expenses.
Now, fascinating. Now let's talk about when Reb Baruch Haymanis and others came together, their vision was L'Shem Shemayim. And legally, this is set up as a nonprofit.
Yes.
So there, my question is, to the extent that you could share, what are some of the elements that go into, whether it's the sharing between one another, whether it's the structure of the board, what are some of the, just fascinating by this, if I could sure. ask, by some of the dynamics of the fact that you are sharing in people's expenses, yet it's a nonprofit.
Excellent. So the structure of our board is very diverse. Again, it's all going to be people who care about the community, people who care about the best outcomes for the health of our community. We have a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant, and Baruch Chaim as an entrepreneur and a successful businessman on his own, together with others who understand the needs of our community and who understand what it means to run a true nonprofit without any motivation other than bringing about the best outcomes for your constituents. So every decision that we make has nothing to do with what's going to generate more profit. Mm. It's about what's going to be the best solution for the problem that we are coming to serve our community. That's it. A to Z is what is the best that we can do for our community.
Now, a little bit later in the show, we're going to get to dollars and cents.
Yes.
But I know I've drank the Kool-Aid, me and my family. We know that we save on average probably around $20,000 a year. And yet, Baruch Hashem, whenever there was an issue, this, the Kindlech, it's covered. Lamaisa, you started with roughly 100 members.
That's okay. It.
Today, Kanai Nahara, you're at 20,000 members. You're growing at a real, at a real clip, as they say. What's driving that kind of growth?
What's driving is it's the carrot and the stick on one end. There's two parts of it. There's the part that the suffering of the expenses that people cannot tolerate, they can't afford it. How can an average family pay $30,000 a year for healthcare? Unless they're getting a great subsidy, either from their employer or from the marketplace, it's for the most part unaffordable for the middle-class family to pay regular healthcare costs. Now, what drives, that's one side that drives growth, is that people just, they're desperate for a more affordable solution. They're finally willing to open their eyes and see, yes, there is something that works for their friends, something that works for their families. That's number one. And number two is definitely, like we said before, it's the building of trust.
Right.
It's establishing with your providers that you're a payer who pays on time, who pays fair. And when the patients speak to their doctors and they have discussions about insurance and they hear other people in the doctor's office, oh, I'm on United Refuah, that builds a trust. And when their family and friends have stories, that builds a trust. And that's what's driving the incredible growth. Bli Ayin Hara, I just checked the reports. As of August 2026, the growth of memberships this year was 56% over last year's total memberships. We're holding in August. Now, we don't take any credit for that. It's not because we're gurus and not because we did an incredible job. We do our ishtadlus in marketing. We do our ishtadlus in taking care of our members. And definitely the pain of people not being able to afford regular medical expenses using traditional methods, and the building of trust is something that contributes to the overall growth of the organization.
My guest in this edition of Mind Your Business is Rav Moshe Katz, CEO of United Refuah HealthShare. And thank you. You're gracious enough to allow me to ask, you know, a series of pointed questions, yes, which I imagine you're asked all the time, or your team is asked all the time. And that's why I appreciate the opportunity to sit down and ask these questions. Yeah. Another question is retention. You know, in any type of business, there's an issue of retention. United Refuah is not a business. It's a nonprofit. L'chaira, I would say no one leaves, right? What's the alternative? To spend $3,000-$4,000 a month when, depending on the individual and his situation, he could be spending a few hundred, at maximum $500 a month, as opposed to $3,000-$4,000 a month. And we're going to get into some of those details regarding an individual, a family plan, a couple. But l'chaira, no one leaves. Or is there ever a situation where
is a very high retention rate.
Okay.
But there's also going to be people that leave. If we look at this past year to date,
okay,
I would say, I told you, 56% growth of memberships.
Right.
About 1/10 of that number left. Meaning it's a net growth, but again, you're going to have a number that leave because of becoming eligible for Medicaid, either with changes in their income. They became eligible for employer insurance.
Right.
I met someone yesterday. He said he's getting a promotion. And because he's getting a promotion, he's now eligible for his company's insurance plan,
right, so,
which previously he did not have that eligibility.
Right. Okay,
so we can't beat that. Right. And then you're going to have the people who misunderstood the program. They didn't realize there's limitations on pre-existing conditions. They didn't realize there's certain therapies that their children might need, advanced therapies, mm-hmm, which certain other programs will pay for, which may not be within the limits of our program. And that's not going to be a significant number, and they're all understandable. The number of people who leave because of customer service related concerns is really, really negligible. And I'll just close the question with, take a look at our Google reviews. And there are hundreds of Google reviews, Bli Ayin Hara, and there are 3 negative reviews. And those 3 negative reviews are all from people who we were not able to accept for membership. Mm. They are not from people who were active members who actually received services from us.
Wow.
So we couldn't help them. You know, they weren't fit for membership.
So now this really leads me to my next question. 20,000 members. You're dealing with a lot of nefashis, a lot of Halak Eden in Kal Yisrael. Yes. Describe some of the major medical needs that United Refuah is helping people with on a day-to-day basis.
So you have the needs that we like to share in are obviously the well visits that we promote. People should take advantage of our wellness allowances, that there are no out-of-pocket costs. We share from the first dollar. That's simple, easy. Vaccinations, urgent care visits for minor injuries, an ear infection, a fever, simple things. You get to more complicated things, which again, we like to share in those as well. The maternities, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara. Those are things that we love to share in. Klal Yisrael is growing. The membership is growing with them. Those are wonderful things to share in. And then, Rachmana Litzlan, people go through medical events, whether it's appendicitis, whether it's a hernia surgery, whether it's an internal infection, whether it's, Rachmana Litzlan, something even more serious, Yana Machla, cancer, something like that, which we're dealing with active members now, different stages of treatment. We're there for our members from beginning to end. We have one member right now who needs a refuah shleima, who was diagnosed with a very serious brain tumor. Yes. And one of the major medical referral agencies told him that for his particular illness, the best treatment that's available for him is an experimental treatment that can be administered only in England. Mm. It's over $100,000. We're getting close now to about $150,000, likely not covered by any insurance company, both because it's experimental, out of the country, and we're footing the bill. We wired the money to England. We just sent another payment last week for another dose of this treatment for him. But again, it's the full gamut of care, whether it's hospitalization, surgery, urgent cares, sick visits, well visits, imaging, and everything along the way.
So this is starting to paint a picture of a health share, meaning it's Klal Yisrael looking out for one another and sharing in their in their medical expenses.
Right. The sharing process is real. Internally, every medical expense has to be assigned to a membership account to be paid. So if someone has enough money in their own share fund, is what we call it, to pay for their own medical expense, it will first get paid from their own share fund. Mm-hmm. If there's not enough money in their own share fund, then money gets transferred automatically from other members' share funds into their account to pay for that medical expense. So for example, I saw a transaction, which everyone can see, of several thousand dollars that were deducted from my family's share fund to pay for someone else's medical expense. Now, on the front end, you can't see where the money went, but I took a look to see where did my money go on the back end, because every dollar, again, is directly allocated to specific medical need. And I saw there was a woman who had a baby, and Baruch Hashem, our few thousand dollars went to pay for her labor and delivery charges for her baby. So, you know, it's an incredible feeling that not only myself, but many members have that feeling as well, that at the end of the year, even if they don't have any medical expenses, the money that they put in for their monthly contributions, even if it's not needed for their own medical expenses, go to pay for the medical expenses of other community members. And they have that tremendous feeling of satisfaction. It's not wasted money. It's not a premium that went unused.
Now, if I may, there's a ruchnia side to this of noisa ba'olam chaveiro. It's like
incredible. Incredible noisa ba'olam chaveiro, both on the financial side and also on the tefillah side. When someone's going through something, we give them the option. Case managers proactively offer it. Mm-hmm. To give their name, either if it's something very serious, we can send out a direct email to all members immediately. Someone's going into emergency surgery. I remember one, a child last year was very, very ill. It was Erev Shabbos, an accident. Accident happened. And we sent out, like 2 hours before Shabbos, we begged all our members to please daven by Hadlakas Neiris that this child should have a refuah shlema. Mitzvah Shabbos, the parents told me that everything turned around. Wow. The child was released from the hospital. No deficits, nothing. It was a nace. It was mamish, a nace.
But the tefillah.
It was a fatal, it was
type of situation.
Very, very serious situation. The doctors were very, very concerned and warned the parents to expect the worst. And we had that tefillah, kayach tefillah of the rabbin. We all come together. It's not just about the money. Definitely nice about El Mechaveri, both on the financial side and on the ruchniyah side. And we feel a certain level of siyata d'shmaya that comes from that alone. That it's Klal Yisrael coming together. It's not just another service that we pay for to get a benefit from.
It's so special. I'm now going to ask a question. I'm going to use the word business, but not as it relates to United Refuah. You have companies, a lot of Baruch Hashem, very, you know, very successful frum companies out there. And once upon a time, they would offer insurance from the regular insurance companies. And now they would like to explain, and there are many companies that actually paused because of how complicated and how expensive it got. And they're saying to themselves, hey, maybe this is an option to offer United Refuah health share. Is that, can I ask that question? Like, how does
you
that work?
You can ask that question without giving direct insurance advice. Okay. So people should always ask their insurance brokers direct insurance advice. Now, if someone's a large employer, which usually means 50 or more employees, then they're required by law to provide an insurance plan. A person can opt out of the plan and people can still purchase other options, but the employer has an obligation to offer a plan. So let's talk about the smaller employers who do not have an obligation and all they're trying to do is offer a competitive compensation package for their employees, which was costing them a fortune, which was costing them, I think the average per employee they said is about $19,000 for a single employee for a health insurance plan, which is very, very high. Now compare that with United Refuah single membership, which this year stands at $199 a month, couple $349, family $499 for family of six. We can get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
It's tremendous savings and they can offer something meaningful to the employee.
Right.
So there are employers who do offer that. Now, it is going to be a taxable benefit as of now. It may change. There is a proposal to change it. So if you're giving your employee a family membership of $499, it gets added on as additional compensation at the end of the year for their taxes. So let's say they have a 20% tax bracket. They'll have to pay $100. Either you can offset it for them. You don't offset it for them.
Right. Okay.
But one employer in New York told me that this is what he told his employees. I offer an insurance plan. Or you can go to United Refuah. He himself with his family is on United Refuah. He said, if you go on United Refuah and I don't have to pay for your insurance plan, which is part of your benefits, he's a small employer, but he offers it, I will give you on your paycheck every month the $1,800 difference between what it would cost United Refuah membership and the insurance plan. I'm not going to keep it for myself. It's your decision. You have a right to get the insurance plan under your compensation package, but I'm happy to give you the money if you opt to United Refuah. This is an employer told me himself that he does.
Very smart. Yeah. So he's incentivizing them to... Now, United Refuah is not health insurance. And you write that in all your ads. So perhaps we could just come back at this again to understand what exactly is a healthcare sharing ministry and how is that different from insurance? Like a straight up question.
Straight up question, very important question.
Yes.
Because one of the big fears that turns people away is that disclaimer that we have to write.
Right.
Not insurance, does not offer insurance.
Right. So well, what does
insurance.
That mean?
So, right. So what is this if not insurance? Yeah. So insurance, again, is a for-profit corporation in general that promises to pay the medical expenses of its policyholders based on the premium that was paid by the policyholder.
Okay.
There's no exclusions on pre-existing conditions. They're required by law to pay for all pre-existing conditions. They're required by law to have very, very unlimited sharing for all medical expenses that are covered, things that we don't necessarily believe in under our religious beliefs. And that forms a very expensive model of healthcare spending.
Right.
Because the pre-existing adds up a lot. The prescription medications can be a very, very big expense, especially for pre-existing conditions. And again, if they're going to pay for medical expenses against our religious beliefs, those can also add in a factor. A healthcare sharing ministry, again, it's a nonprofit. We come together, we share in very specific medical expenses, which are the standards needed for regular medical care, for emergency medical care, for planned, not necessarily emergency, but medically necessary care. Someone needs a hip replacement because they're getting older and the hips aren't working properly. That's medically necessary, even though it's not emergency. So the standard non-pre-existing, which we can talk about pre-existing separately, we're here to share in those expenses with specific sharing guidelines and limitations that work for our community with an understanding that we're in this together. We're here to spend together to take care of each other's health.
Now, there's a term called share fund. I'm not familiar with that. I'm familiar in general, but perhaps you can explain. I'm sure it's something that we even touched on, but just that word share fund, sure. What does that mean?
So when I mentioned share fund before, the way that it works is the government, or at least certain state governments, require that the sharing take place member to member sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's this big pool that all the money goes in and all the money just gets paid out from this big pool. A medical expense gets paid from one member to another member. So if there's a big expense, let's say someone has a $100,000 surgery and we need to take from 30 different members or 40 or 50 different members, it's all clearly money moving from one member's share fund, which is an account, a restricted asset that can only be used for medical expenses, to the member in need. It's not something that's the organization's money, the company's money. The money belongs to the membership. It's, again, a restricted asset, can only be used for the medical expenses of the members, different than money we set aside for infrastructure and overhead costs.
Got you. And as a nonprofit, that's all trackable and it's all documented. That's
every penny. And the members have access to their share fund. They could see what they put in. They could see the deduction every month for administrative costs. And they could see money that was paid for their own medical expenses and money that they shared for other medical people's medical expenses and money that was shared from others for their medical expenses. They'll also see that movement of money into their share fund on our membership member portal.
Now, before I get to my next question, just want to ask, I've seen in some of the ads a rough number, which just sounded too astounding, of how much you saved the community to date in 8 short years. If I recall correctly, it was $250 million.
Almost.
Is that?
$230 million.
That's close enough.
Close enough. Very close. Yeah. I'm afraid to say $250 million yet, almost. Another probably month or so, Meretz Hashem, 2 months.
That's real money.
That's an incredible amount of money. It's who knows how many thousands of weddings worth of money,
right.
tuitions,
chalimud.
Yeah, if I meet someone, they tell me, I need to thank you because you really saved my family year over year, $15,000 of real money. He has a small family. I know my cost in healthcare went down $15,000 every year. And we have people that are saving significantly more. Someone told me, his accountant told him, listen, the last 5 years, you could have saved $30,000 a year. That's $150,000. You could have bought yourself a vacation home, he told them. He said that's what pushed him to make the switch. His accountant told him that. So it's real money. I know myself, I probably save about $30,000 a year over the options that are available here in Ohio that will provide similar, again, I don't want to use the word coverage, but similar level of medical
expenses.
Cost, expense, right? Exactly, management. So the money really adds up. Go look at what happens in 5 years. What happens in 10 years?
Right.
Doesn't take too long to get to the number of $250 million, and the number is growing. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's possibly one of the greatest savings programs that Klai Yisrael has seen. Again, without taking any credit, it's the Siyata Deshmaya that Hashem gave Klai Yisrael this matono of having their own way to manage their medical expenses and reduce costs in such a dramatic way.
Now, Rav Moshe, you had shared that it's okay, I could ask like a pointed question. You know, medical needs aren't always, and people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, yes, and always mispaal for good health. And when Chalila Le'aleinu, a situation comes up, it's many times unexpected. What happens perhaps regarding a health share? There's a certain amount that comes in and there's a certain amount that goes out. Can I ask the question of like, what happens regarding sharing? If let's say there's a month where the expenses, Chalila, are more or far more than the income, I don't want to say income, but the money that's coming in
membership contributions.
Through the membership contributions.
Right. Okay. A very important question, financial question.
Yeah.
So if we look back since we started again in June 2018, about 8.5 years ago, Baruch Hashem, I think there was only one month that the medical expenses of that month exceeded the contributions of that month, and it was only by about 0.5%. I think it was 100.5%. Now, if we look back since our inception, Baruch Hashem, the money that's put away every month, when I say put away, I mean the residual in the share fund is very, very significant. Our average claims payout ratio since we started of all the money that went into the share fund is about 54-55% is the claims payout ratio. If we look at the past 12 months, it's more around 70%. So meaning the money is definitely being spent for medical expenses, but there is a buffer that's created within the monthly contributions, not just month to month, but in long term as well, to allow for those unexpected higher cost events as well. Now, if Chas V'Shalom health share would ever exceed their available funds total, okay, that's when a health share can make a decision either to request a one-time additional contribution from members. It's not a fixed policy that you promise your policyholders, this is what you'll pay the entire year. But you have that option to request either one time, or if you see that, again, the trend is going up over time, that's when you would make a decision together with the board of directors to raise however, whatever percentage is reasonable to make sure that the margin, the buffer is comfortable for members to feel comfortable that their members, their medical expenses will be paid for.
So based on what you're sharing, the fact that Baruch Hashem, only one time, one month, it went up by a drop, but in general, you're 50 to 70%, you know, as far as the, I don't want to say
claims
income
ratio, right?
But the ratio. So that also probably explains why, and I'm just saying this as, you know, being so touched, you've been able to freeze the rates for such a long period of time.
Baruch Hashem, since we started in June 2018, we lowered rates once. For families, went down from $519 to $499. The singles went down from $219 to $199. We cut the co-sharing in half, which we'll talk about later, which is very significant. The family could save as much as $4,000 a year on their co-sharing, and we've not raised it since. Now, it is very possible, if not likely, that for 2027, there will be a small increase just to accommodate the increases in medical expenses this past year and the anticipated increases, which they're projecting to be 9% of medical expenses across the board for this upcoming year.
And Rav Moshe, I don't need to share with you that even over the last 6-7 years, healthcare costs have increased dramatically.
Right. And that's the explanation between the average of the 50 something to the past 12 months, 70 as a claims payout ratio, is because definitely medical expenses are increasing.
Okay. Now let's go to, you know, tachlis. You know, who is actually eligible to join United Refuah Health Share? Is membership limited to someone who's from? You talked about sharing in each other's beliefs. Perhaps you could touch on that.
Okay. So we tell people, the ideal member is someone who's in overall good health, no known upcoming significant care, which would be a burden. When I say burden, I mean that the cost of their care will exceed their contributions. That's something that we look at. From what we know today, is this person likely to be a contributor or likely to be need from the share fund?
And you're also doing it to be sensitive to every other
That's
member,
right.
The 20,000,
exactly.
Presently 20,000 exactly. Members who are on the system.
Exactly. And overall good health, and they're under age 65. Religious beliefs, they have to agree to our shared religious beliefs, which include the Yod Gimel Ani Mamins. They have to lead at least a minimal life of Torah observance, which we can get into more specifics on a case-by-case basis. If someone has a question, they can reach out just to satisfy the legal obligations of someone adhering to our religious beliefs to become a member of the organization. As long as they don't have any significant medical conditions which would preclude them from membership, they're welcome to apply for United Refuah Health Share.
Okay. Now, let's walk through the numbers straight up. You share this and okay. A single member is contributing $199 a month.
Right.
Okay. And then remember, there's also the terms of pre-share, co-share. At what point does United Refuah begin sharing 100% of their eligible expenses?
Okay. So like you said, a single right now contributes $199 a month. It's an extra $10 if they pay by credit card. The first $500 of their medical expenses, which we refer to as the pre-share, meaning mm-hmm. before we share, mm-hmm. is their own responsibility, with the exception of the annual well visit and certain other preventative care. After the $500 of their own medical expenses have been paid as their pre-share, they will then be responsible for 20% co-sharing on the next $5,000 of eligible medical expenses, which means they would pay $1,000, we would share $4,000. After that point, where they already paid the $500 pre-share, they paid the $1,000 co-sharing, that's when we will begin sharing up to $1 million per incident at 100%. Mm. Mm. And again, that's after the first 60 days of membership, which is somewhat of a waiting period, which has limited sharing of $25,000 for all conditions and all events that present during the first 60 days of membership. Now, just to finish the answer to the question, when we say $1 million per incident, it's eligible medical expenses. So whatever eligible means, fair, usual, customary, we could talk about that soon. Mm-hmm. It's not an unlimited paycheck that people take right. to their doctor, and we could talk about that separately. But eligible medical expenses at that point, $1 million once they meet their pre-share and co-share.
Now, we don't want anyone to get distracted yeah. and then go visit the website. But if I just may ask, what is the website where people can go and visit to find out more information?
UnitedRefuah.org, O-R-G. Everything's there. Explainer videos.
Okay. FAQs. And if people have specific questions, is there a number they can call?
440-772-0700. Very friendly. Advisors, you will not be asked the question, can we sign you up? We are not insurance brokers. We're not wow. looking to make the sale. We're looking to make sure that it's the right fit for you and your family before you join. So don't be scared to call.
Excellent. Now let's talk about the membership levels for a couple and a family. Couple, $349 a month, $499 a month for a family of six.
Good.
Pre-share, co-share, perhaps you could again explain, you know, when it kicks in as far as their coverage.
Perfect. So a couple is $349,
and
like
coverage,
you said.
And coverage, you know, using the word
liberally. Sharing, right.
Sharing.
Couple's $349 a month, extra $10 if they pay by credit card. It's going to be a $1,000 annual pre-share shared mm-hmm. by the couple. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they're going to be responsible for 20% on the next $10,000 of expenses. After they meet that, again, it's the same $1 million per incident that we will share at 100% after the first 60 days of membership. For a family of any size that's paying $499 for a family of six mm-hmm. and $50 for each additional family member per month, there's a $1,500 annual pre-share that's shared by all the family members. And then after that, 20% of the next $20,000 is going to be the family's co-share responsibility for the year before we start sharing up to $1 million per incident. Now, again, because those numbers are shared by the family, it's very easy to meet them with different family members' right. medical expenses coming right. together. Right. So if there was a baby born and they wiped out their pre-share and co-share, let's say for the year, right. under a couple, then if there was another event, this kid had appendicitis or something, there won't be any responsibility from the member because they would have already met their pre-share and co-share for the year for the membership. Now, just to speak out, there is another expense for maternity,
okay,
which we can elaborate more later. I just want to make sure there's an asterisk there that there is additional expense when it comes to maternity.
So now, let's, before we get to maternity, just, Rahman al-Hassan, if there's a catastrophic event, how does that work between pre-share, co-share? What's ultimately shared in such a, you've touched on it, but now just coming with this question direct.
Yeah. Sure. Rahman al-Islam. Hashem should watch.
Amen.
All of his children. B'chol Mokim Shahim.
Amen.
If someone has a significant medical event of any type, we do assign a case manager. The case manager's job is to hold the member's hand through the process, guiding them, making sure their needs are met, making sure their payments are expedited as necessary, making sure that they have the emotional support that they need and not have to navigate it on their own. Now, when I say emotional support, they're not their social worker, but they're there to streamline the sharing process, to streamline mm-hmm. whatever we are able to do to make it easier for them. Mm-hmm. Now, if let's say, Rahman al-Islam, a person has a serious illness, They need a surgery that's going to be $80,000. They need treatment that's going to be another $150,000. So they're going to have their pre-share and co-share that's going to be applied right away from the beginning of their medical services. After that's done, everything's going to be eligible for sharing again as long as it is within the usual and customary rates and up to 100%, $1 million per incident. Over the years, I can tell you, just because people ask, you know, why don't you increase it to $2 million between negotiations, case agreements with hospitals, self-pay pricing, whatever different models that we've been able to work together with providers to keep costs low, our members have always been able to keep their total expense per incident well below the $1 million incident, to the point that even though we're not allowed to make any promise to pay or tell people we'll never be a problem or anything like that, realistically speaking, no one has ever come anywhere remotely close to that number, even with very, very significant illnesses or significant injuries. You asked how the sharing process works. If they're going to be paying their provider on their own, we can expedite reimbursements, whether it's a 24-hour ACH payment to them, whether we're paying the provider directly. We'll make sure they're not stuck. When I say stuck, we'll make sure to work with them, with their providers, to make sure they get the care that they need within the sharing guidelines in a timely manner. There's no bureaucracy, meaning we're here to make sure things move fast. There's nothing holding up their care.
And there's someone to talk to.
There's someone, a direct contact, the case manager, who's the member's case manager, to make sure that there are no hurdles along the way that aren't necessary.
Now let's talk about the Baruch Hashem, the bracha and Klal Yisrael with the amount of kinderlach that are born. Let's talk about maternity. And also just an interesting question, you know, what happens, the baby's born and now, you know, there were four kinderlach, so it was a family of six, and now suddenly there's five kinderlach, it's a family of seven. Just walk us through that.
Yes. Yeah. As I said, those are the expenses that we look forward to sharing in. You know, halavai, that should be the only thing we have to pay for, the maternity and well visits. Now, the way that it works with maternity is the only membership that has the same sharing for all medical expenses, including maternity, is the family membership, where it's just going to be the standard pre-share and standard co-sharing. The singles and couples do have an additional responsibility, which we refer to as a pregnancy pre-share, of the total cost of maternity for a single, because they're putting in so little every month.
Right.
They have to take on their own additional responsibility of $2,500 of the total maternity costs. On their
right. Okay, understood. Right. Right. Because let's say the husband gets coverage through his company, but the mother does not.
Right.
Or whatever. Right.
Right. Or he's on his COLEL plan and she's not eligible or like that.
Right.
Which is common. We do see quite a few of those. Or we have people who they have Medicaid or they have some other insurance plan, but they only are covered in network. They're only covered in state and they want to go to a doctor out of state.
Specific doctor,
so right? Because we share nationwide, any doctor, any hospital, anywhere in the world. So we have many people actually that will purchase a United Refuah membership, will sign up for United Refuah just for sharing in their maternity expenses out of state. So we will share minus the $2,500 maternity pregnancy pre-share, minus the pre-share, minus the co-sharing. The pre-share and co-share, it's important to note that those do reset every calendar year. The pregnancy pre-share is per pregnancy.
Okay.
Now for a couple, in addition to the regular pre-share and co-sharing, there's also a $900 pregnancy pre-share. It's less.
Okay.
The families, we eliminated it. There's no additional pregnancy, just a standard pre-sharing and co-sharing, nothing specific for the pregnancy. So let's say if an average pregnancy can cost $15,000. It's hard to nail an exact number. It depends on a lot of factors. The state is all going to be changing in 2027 because the billing for maternity is switching from global, meaning one fee for all services combined, to per service. So it's going to become a very big variable number that's really going to be very pregnancy specific. The members will, on average, max out their pre-share and co-share for a pregnancy, except for the family membership, which we don't usually see them maxing out their pre-share and co-share because they don't usually exceed $20,000 of total medical expenses for the total pregnancy bills. Now, you asked how that changes the size. So it's again, if they're switching from a single to couple to family, it's going to change from the month that the baby's born, from the first of the month. They must add the baby to the membership in order for us to pay for the baby's medical expenses.
That makes sense.
And if they're going from a six to seven, then it's going to be the extra $50 a month, like any other additional family member.
Now, something that you had touched on before, which is a tremendous mila, tremendous advantage of a health share, and that is, you know, there's no such thing as like in network. You have to be in network. You had a case of someone that needed a special type of treatment, and it was in England, and it was not something that necessarily the FDA had down yet, et cetera. And you covered it because a health share, whereas a traditional insurance company may not have touched it. Very possibly would not most have touched likely. It, most likely. Right. So perhaps you could even touch upon that, where not only is it an option where you're saving a fortune, but there's certain big milestones that you have as far as going to the doctor of your choice, but within maybe some parameters. Right. Perhaps we could touch on that now.
So that's one of the most important concepts in health sharing, specifically with United Four, but it applies to other health sharing groups as well. Just because we give a member access to any doctor, any hospital, anywhere in the world, we don't tell them where they have to go. They're welcome to go to a preferred provider where there's no billing complexity at all. They show their card, they pay a small check-in fee. They will never see another paper again regarding this expense. Or they can go to a doctor that will bill United for directly. We'll pay the doctor. They'll pay their pre-share, co-share. Or they can go to any doctor anywhere in the world that will accept them as a self-pay patient. They can pay and submit to us for reimbursement. They have all those options on the table. That does not mean that we will pay any dollar amount for any service that they want to use. It has to be what's considered usual and customary. Usual and customary we define as up to 50% above whatever Medicare would pay for the same mm-hmm. service mm-hmm. in the same area, which is a very generous rate. Now, if someone wants to go to a doctor that bills above usual and customary, they're welcome to go there, but it's possible they will be responsible mm-hmm. for the difference. They won't be out of network that we won't pay for it, but they'll have that freedom to go wherever they want for care. So even members that had accidents abroad, medical care, they needed to go out of state. Medical care that they wanted to go to the top specialist, which is a cash-only doctor, does not accept any insurance, they could still use their United Four membership. I actually interviewed someone for a position recently, mm-hmm. and I asked her, I said, what made you look into United Four? How did you hear about us? What made you interested in joining the United Four team? And she said that a relative of hers actually had a significant accident. We won't go into the details on the show. Mm-hmm. And they were able to use the top specialist, and their outcome, Baruch Hashem, was amazing. And when she heard that, that made a tremendous impact on her, that it's real. It gives members flexibility. If they live in New Jersey and they want to go to some specialist in New York, they may have to pay something out of pocket, but it's not going to be out of network. It's not going to be like if they had a local plan in-state that only pays for in-state doctors. That's it. They're totally out of pocket. So that advantage of being able to choose any doctor, any hospital, anywhere in the world is a tremendous advantage. As long as people have the understanding that does not mean a blank check, does not mean an unlimited credit card. It comes with the understanding of usual and customary.
Right. Which also goes to the heart of a health share is a person has to shmart emunos nafshei seichem. At the same time, be sensitive, be understanding. And
we're spending each other's money.
You're spending each other's money.
Right.
What would you do if you were paying out of pocket?
Right. You would not want someone else to be spending your money.
Right. Just stop.
Without thinking.
With carte blanche. Thinking it's a carte blanche. Right. It's not.
If someone has a hospital bill for $85,000 and we know the hospital bill is overpriced and we know that this hospital gives very good discounts if you ask for them. So a member comes and says, I don't want to be busy. I don't want to ask them for a discount. I don't want to deal with this. Just pay the bill. Is that responsible? Is that what they would want done if it was their money that was being spent? That's not what they would want done.
Okay, so that leads me to a straight up question. A member goes to a new doctor. Now, some providers preferred providers.
Or direct billing.
And by the way, I just want to say a big mile here is that within from communities, you probably have a much higher percentage of people that are preferred providers that someone could just come in, show their card. Right. And it's covered. They don't have to go through the process of okay. So explain to us how that works either way. If a doctor is a preferred provider, because again, we're not dealing with in-network.
Right.
But just a preferred provider, or if the person, it's a new doctor, walk us through what is a member to
expect. So we'll elaborate a little bit more on that now.
Yeah.
Our preferred provider network, which is not a network that a person has to use. It's a benefit that members have to be able to go to providers where we have an agreement that they pay a specific low check-in fee between $10 to $30 at the time of service, and that's it. They don't pay anything else. There's no other expenses unless they send out to a lab for special lab work. But for the doctor himself, that takes care of the medical expense. There's no paperwork. They're not going to get an explanation of sharing, showing that they owe more money from the doctor. That's it. Option number two is that the doctor bills United Refuah directly using the information on the card. If they already met their pre-share and co-share, we will pay the doctor the full amount. If they charge more than we allow under usual and customary, we will reprice similar to what an insurance company does. Even though we don't necessarily have a contract with the doctor, most doctors will accept repricing as long as it's reasonable, as long as it's using a formula that's accepted in the industry. And option number three is if a person goes to a doctor, they say, we don't know what this is. We don't know what health sharing is. They live in some small town in Nevada or Utah, and they're going to somewhere that does not recognize health sharing, does not recognize United Refuah. They're welcome to pay as a self-pay patient and submit to United Refuah for reimbursement. They upload it on our portal, or they can have the doctor do it on their behalf, even if the doctor is collecting from them money at the time of the visit, and we will reimburse the member directly, minus whatever their responsibility is.
Now, let's talk about, again, Rahman al-Litzan, an acute emergency. What happens in that case? Whether it's Shabbos during the weekday, Yom Tov, whatever it is, they need to go to their nearest emergency room.
Right.
Walk us through what does someone do in that case?
Sure. So like when someone calls a doctor's office, the recording always says, if this is a medical emergency,
right, go to emergency room,
call 911 or proceed to the closest emergency department.
Right.
So the same rules apply. Emergency, people know, and that's part of the member education. They do not need to call us until it is safe to do so. Even though there are certain services that require pre-notification, like a planned hospitalization or an emergency room, within 24 hours, we do request that the members be in touch with us so we can make sure that the billing process is streamlined. There's no surprises. Everything's being documented properly. A member is not expected to call us in an emergency situation before they get care. We do have people that answer the phone 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. Not on Shabbos. If a person needs guidance, but again, the guidance is more complementary to them knowing that the emergency proceed, take care of what they need to take care of,
right,
and then be in touch when it's safe to do so.
Very special. Right. And understood. That's
right.
And people understand it. Like, you're right. When a person calls a regular doctor, if this is a real emergency, call 911.
Right. Now, many members will call while they're in the Hatzalah on the way to the hospital, letting us know, but they're already on the way to the hospital. They don't have to do that either if it's not comfortable for them yet to do so. But within 24 hours of when they reach the emergency department or the hospital, we do request that they do reach out to us under the pre-notification requirement.
Now, I'm going to ask a delicate, but again, a pointed question. A United Refuah member, Rahman al-Litzan, is in this, whatever the situation is, they're rushed to the hospital. Is there a situation where the hospital, because of the methods of United Refuah, that they might feel that they're getting any less attention or care because of the method of getting compensated through a health share?
Okay. That's a very hard question to answer in the sense that it really would depend on who's handling the care. Some hospitals do bill us directly, the same way they would bill insurance. Many hospitals look at our members as self-pay patients. They do not want to engage with us directly. Even a self-pay patient is required to receive by federal law whatever care they need to stabilize an emergency. Now, once the emergency is stabilized, the hospital is not required to continue their care. If they need follow-up outpatient surgery, the hospital is not required to provide that for them under the same framework of emergency care.
Okay, excellent. So a person knows that even though they're part of a health share, United Refuah, but still,
emergency care
is the same.
Same federal protections like anyone else.
Like anyone else.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's talk about preventative care and maybe something that's scheduled, like hip replacement, knee replacement. Perhaps you could talk about how that works within the framework of a health share.
Okay, so we'll break it into two questions. The first one is preventative care.
Okay.
We do give every member a well visit every year up to $350. Right. First dollar sharing, meaning not subject to pre-share or co-share. Every woman gets an additional woman's health visit, well visit every year, in addition to the standard visit. That's another $350 every year. There's $200 of wellness lab work that we share from the first dollar as well. Over age 45 or over, get a colonoscopy allowance of $1,500. Again, first dollar sharing after the first year of membership. Women get a pap smear. Women get mammograms every other year from the first dollar. and other preventative services as well that change from time to time, depending on what the recommendations are and how we can best service our members to make sure that they take care of their health proactively. So that's preventative.
Right. You're thank you for splitting the question.
No
right.
problem. And then now for scheduled care, let's say like someone does need a surgery. So surgery, any type of surgical consult, surgical recommendation will go to a case manager. The case manager will walk through with the member what the medical need is, what the quote is. Now, if the quote is acceptable, it will be approved right away, subject to whatever the member responsibility is. Either we can pay the provider directly if appropriate, or the member can pay and submit to us for quick reimbursement. Again, once it's under case management, it's much faster. We can do the ACHs, especially anything $5,000 or over. And if the price that they're being quoted is higher than would be expected, higher than usual or customary, that's when our case manager can provide guidance, whether it's creating a case agreement with the provider, whether it's suggesting another location where maybe the same doctor works that's a lower cost. I can tell you one very short incident that happened. We had a member that needed an orthopedic surgery at one of the major New York hospitals. They found the surgeon that they needed to use, that they wanted to use. It was about $70,000 for the surgical center and about $20,000 for the doctor. So we checked the rates and it was significantly more than usual and customary, the surgical center rate. We reached out to the facility and we found out that this doctor also operates in a certain outpatient surgical center in New York as well, in addition to the hospital. And the surgical center said they could do the same surgery. They're with the same surgeon for $20,000 instead of
$50,000
less. Right. Okay. So that's nice savings, right? That's money on the table. We didn't stop there though. Our case manager called the hospital back and said, we have a quote to do the surgery at, I don't want to say the name, I remember.
Right.
The surgical center with the same surgeon. They said, we'll match it.
Wow. We'll match it. Wow.
So the discussion is important. The discussion, not only because there's a lot of money that can be saved for members, real money, without compromising on the care that the member is going to receive.
That's
I can think of one member who, when we brought up this concept, that they really were not educated on coming into membership. They signed up with closed eyes, and then their child had a very, very significant medical need, like a six-digit medical need. And we discussed this concept with them. And they were all upset, like, what are you talking about? Like, they thought this is just, you give the card and you pay everything. And when they understood the power of engaging with the provider and asking for discounts, if I remember correctly, they made two phone calls. Each phone call they made to the provider knocked off $20,000. $20,000 a phone call. So she's like, whoa, like, you're right. I should not take the first number that they say as the golden number that needs to be paid. There's a book, Never Pay the First Hospital Bill. Like, there's always room to talk about. You know, whatever they quote you, they're willing to have a conversation. They're willing to settle fair. Many providers, the number that they're putting on the table is not what they actually expect you to pay. They expect you to have a fair discussion with them.
But when someone is part of a health sharing unit, or full health sharing in the case of Firmiden, so then you're holding their hand, guiding them. Advising them in order, and sometimes even taking care of the negotiations in order to...
When
it's appropriate.
Right. There was an emergency surgery I remember I had a few weeks ago. And I spoke to the wife. She said she just came out of the surgeon's office. He's doing the surgery first thing in the morning. It's emergency. It's going to be $30,000 for the surgeon. I said, did you ask for any discount? She's like, you can ask for a discount? I was like, yeah, you can. Why can't you ask for a discount? You're paying for the surgery. You can ask for a discount. She said, I'm right outside. Should I go back in? I said, go back in and ask. She went back in and said, okay, we take off $8,000. Huh. Again, just five seconds, walked
Shalom
in.
Aleichem.
Yeah, no problem. We'll take off $8,000. You asked nicely, so we'll take off $8,000. It's the same surgery, same surgeon. He's not doing it differently because he took off the $8,000.
Okay, let's
Shalom Yisrael.
Shalom Yisrael. Yeah. Prescriptions. Yeah. How does that work with a health share?
Okay, so prescriptions is an area where, for the most part, the simple prescriptions, members manage those expenses on their own. So whether they're using Amazon Pharmacy or they're using GoodRx or Needy Meds or any other discount program to manage their ongoing or as needed medication costs, those the members take care of on their own. They are not eligible for sharing. It's the high dollar drugs when things get expensive. Rahman al-Islam, a person needs an expensive medication. Now, the real tier of high dollar means any group of medications that together will cost $10,000 or more over a three-month period, that's the we share in those medications. If someone has a middle ground medication, which doesn't meet that criteria, but it is expensive, they can reach out to their case manager and we can see if it's something either we can help them source for a lower cost using other pharmacies, or it's something that we can share partially towards just because we understand the cost burden involved in those medications. I will point out, though, that when we're talking about prescription medications, it's all for new onset medical conditions. If someone needs medicine, even if it's a high dollar drug, for a pre-existing condition, those do not become eligible for sharing even after the normal phase and period of pre-existing conditions. Because it would not be fair to put that burden on existing membership, someone who has right. a known okay. high dollar medication need.
But what's beautiful is that you still are accepting that member coming in with the knowledge, but yet at the same time, there's an asterisk to that relationship.
Right.
That's basically
very, very important, which goes into the whole conversation of pre-existing conditions.
Okay. Let's talk about just an area that Rahman al-Hassan people deal with, whether it's mental health or other things, physical therapy, OT, PT, you know, speech therapy. How does United Refuah handle those situations?
Sure. So those are very common needs. We'd be surprised. Hashem should send everyone refuas ha-nefesh and refuas ha-guf. But mental health needs are real. Mental health care can make a very big difference in a person's ability to perform, to get up in the morning, to make it through the day. And we do understand that. And that's why we do offer every member up to 12 mental health visits per year, up to 125 per visit. Now, someone who has significant mental health needs, obviously, that's not going to take care of their needs. There might be other solutions that are more appropriate for them. Similar is going to be physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy that have a shared allowance of additional 12 visits per year, 125 per visit. If the OT needs or PT needs are from an injury that we shared in the care of that injury, there's definitely room to extend those past the 12 visits. We also offer chiropractic care for musculoskeletal issues, acupuncture. Those have their own allowances. And there's other services as well, such as nutritional counseling. We offer every member every year to go to 2 nutritionist visits, 125 per visit, that also goes under the therapy allowance, which many members don't use. We wish they would use it, right? People who have the right guidance in taking care of themselves and eating the right foods and staying away from harmful foods. From the Hishtadlus standpoint, right, at least that part, they can reduce some of the medical spending, whether it's their sugar, their blood pressure, their weight, etc.
Now, by the way, just because this show will live on, you know, Be'ez Hashem for many years, the numbers being shared now, we're recording the show in the summer of 2026, just for the record. Okay. Let's talk about some other areas, dental, vision, infertility treatment. How does United Refuah Health share in those expenses?
So dental is actually newer for us. We started a couple years ago giving every member $350 dental credits per year. We increased it more recently to $100 dental credits per year. Those are subject to pre-share, co-share. Okay. So meaning a member who has five children or 6 children, and they're taking the children, every child to the dentist twice a year for cleanings and once a year for care, whether they're the tooth pain or a filling or whatever it is, the first $100 of each of those visits is going to be eligible for sharing, subject to their pre-share, co-share. Mm-hmm. Vision, right now we have 1 refractive exam per year, $50 for the exam, subject to pre-share, co-share. If someone has a true medical issue with their eyes, that's a standard medical expense. Now, you asked for infertility. For infertility, the way that it works is we do have a compassionate infertility allowance for couples after the first year of membership of up to $1,000 per couple per year. It's not made to fill the full need for people who have more extensive needs. There are other resources we can help our members with if it's necessary.
Now, a very important part of this conversation in the preparation was pre-existing conditions. We touched on it, but just let's say, I'm going to ask the question straight up. A person is dealing with some type of situation. They're filling out the form. Let's say it's not filled out accurately. We'll leave it at that. You know, what are the consequences? Why is it important for someone to be fully transparent during this very critical onboarding stage?
Okay. So I'm going to break it into 2 questions. Number one is, what is the significance and definition of a pre-existing condition? And then what is the ramifications of someone who does not properly disclose the condition? So the significance is, anyone who has a sign or symptom or any type of follow-up or care in the 3 years prior to membership, or any significant illness history, anything that's considered a chronic or lifetime illness, even if it's not symptomatic at the time of application, does have limitations. The limitations in general are no sharing during the first year, up to $25,000 per condition per year, years two and three, and standard sharing years four and on. There are certain conditions that do have more significant limitations, which will be very clearly discussed and disclosed at the time of acceptance so that we're all on board. We all understand what the exposure for the member is. No surprises. And that's part of our commitment to be as transparent and honest, forthcoming as possible. Now, there are a small number of medical conditions that can preclude a person from joining. Diabetes is one of them. Very significant active illness or recent illness can also preclude a person from sharing just because we would not feel responsible taking in someone with a limitation that's so irresponsible for them not to have the protection that they need at that time.
Right.
Now, because it is so important to properly document and discuss pre-existing conditions because of the limitations involved, the sharing guidelines very clearly say that if someone does not disclose a pre-existing condition at the time of application, that can be grounds for retroactive termination of their membership without refund of their contributions. Now, practically speaking, even if it's not a termination, those medical expenses and anything related to that condition will never become eligible for sharing, even after the phase-in period of years two and three. So it is so important to be transparent. Obviously, everything that a person provides on their application is protected.
It's highly confidential.
Highly confidential, handled with utmost sensitivity.
Right.
We're talking about people's medical histories. Whether it's mental health, physical health, whatever it is, very sensitive details. And we protect it with appropriate safeguards, with appropriate sensitivity. But if someone decides that something's not important, or even if it's an innocent omission, not a good idea. So we strongly recommend that people look over their application before they submit and make sure every detail is accurate.
Right.
Think it through. Is there any doctor that they visited in the last year or 2 years or 3 years they didn't tell us about for some possibly significant symptom? And make sure that everything's transparent and clear.
And like anything in life, be transparent, just like you want people to be transparent with you.
That's right.
You know? Now, just as we come to the close, a little bit of a pointed question, and that is, are there individuals that United Refuah Health Share is not a fit for?
It's hard to talk about that, right? Because
okay,
no one wants to be insulted.
Right.
So we're going to answer the question the way it is, though. The people United Refuah Health Share is not a good fit for, besides for people who won't qualify because of significant pre-existing conditions, is people cannot take responsibility for their healthcare spending. A person who can't accept the mindset that my decisions will have an impact on everyone else's resources. There may be legwork involved. There may be some kind of back and forth between the member and the provider in order to get everything in order for their pricing to be right. If they think that it's just an open checkbook, that they have a card that's going to pay for all their bills, and they're not open to understanding that there's accountability and responsibility that you have to other members, it's not for you. It's not for you. We need members who understand,
we're
responsible for each other, but we are using finite shared resources and are responsible as such. I think that's the most important mindset that we need every member coming in to have.
Still two more questions. And again, thank you so much. I'm speaking with Rav Moshe Katz, CEO of United Refuah Health Share. You operate in a community. We're in a community where reputation, right? It means a lot. How is it that that the organization manages, if I could use that word, its reputation and sees to it that every member feels comfortable, and that also that when Reuven is going to speak to Shimon, they're going to say, yeah, like again, when people call me and people have called me about United Refuah, and I have what to share because I know I'm saving $20,000 a year, and our healthcare needs have been covered. Lamaisa, people talk. There's a reputation that you're managing. How is it that you keep on top of that, and yet you're continuing to grow at such scale?
It's all trust. How do you build trust? So when we have a medical expense of a member that we feel we can't share in the expense, it's not within the sharing guidelines. You always have to tell the member, based on the information that we have, this expense does not appear eligible for sharing, and you explain why, and you give them an opportunity to share their viewpoint, to share their stance of why maybe they might feel different. Do you have a different way to look at it? This is what you agreed to. You know, we spoke about this pre-existing condition that during the first year, we're not going to pay for it, but now you sent them the bill for the expense. Like, is there something that we're missing? We try to always get to the point where we are on the same page as the member. I can tell you that Baruch Hashem, B'li Ayin Hara, over the last 8.5 years, we have never had a single claim go to Beis Din and never had a single claim go to any court. So that says a tremendous amount of how we are able to work with our members. They may not be happy with the decision. It's possible that a person was hoping that something that they knew wouldn't get paid for would somehow get paid for. That could happen. You know, if someone sends in a bill for something that we spoke out before they joined, we won't pay for. That's what it is. But if we're keeping our word and we do what we're supposed to do and we reach the point where we're on the same page as a member, that's how you build trust. And showing that you care, showing that it's the medical outcome is important. We don't compromise on the care. For Chaman al-San, a person is going through a very serious illness. We have case management that allows additional exceptions, whether it's to go to a top tier specialist that charges way more than what's usual and customary, but that's really the best place for them to go for their care right now. And it's justified medically because of the risks involved in not treating their illness properly. Those things build trust. Those decisions build trust. And it's all about trust. It's what do you want your members to feel when they walk away at the end of a serious medical event? You want them to feel that they were taken care of, both medically, they weren't pulled through many hoops to get the care that they need, and there were no compromises that were made that had adverse effects on the outcomes of their care.
Rav Moshe, before I get to my last question, for those that have questions, can you share the phone number and the website, please?
Sure. So our phone number is 440-772-0700, extension 1 for general information, extension 2 if you're already a member and have questions. And our website is www.unitedrefua.org.
Rav Moshe, as we close out this discussion, and thank you so much for sharing of your precious time. Straight up question, similar to the way we opened this conversation. And that is, a person, they're standing around the kitchen right counter, and they're looking at, how to manage their budget. And traditional coverage, whether you call it insurance, whatever it is going to amount to $3,000-$4,000 monthly. Okay. And you have options which are depending on if it's a single, it's a couple, $199, $349, $400-$500. I mean, it's like it's one would think it's a no-brainer. It's too good to be true. Perhaps just like as we wrap up. Now, of course, the answers are covered in the past hour of this interview, but just as a takeaway, how would you answer that question?
Right, so I like to quote a woman from New Jersey who called me and told me that she got her renewal quote, $48,000 for premiums for the year and $13,000 maximum out of pocket for her family, which she anticipated meeting. So that's $61,000. She said, what do you advise people to do with the $50,000 plus that they're going to save? Is there something specific? I'm like, most people do not have that problem. Most of our members don't have the extra money for the other options. This is the only thing they can afford. So is it apples for apples? It's not apples to apples. It's a different type of comparison. It's a different animal.
Right. And there's some big minuses as with as
big
discussed.
Advantages. Right. No network restrictions.
Right.
Freedom to choose. But at the same time, there's going to be
different
restrictions that are part of what lowers costs. Pre-existing conditions.
Right.
That's a big one. Right. And the nonprofit framework, the framework where we focus on keeping costs low and providing the best value for our members, keep the numbers as low as possible. So if you're an engaged member who's willing to shop for their healthcare, to be a healthcare consumer, to shop and understand that the decisions that a person makes for their healthcare have ramifications on what they're going to be paying every month. It's not just what everyone else is going to be paying, because if everyone is careless in their healthcare spending, we'll be at the same place as the other insurance models are already at. So if a person wants to make that decision, they have to come in with the mindset, like we said before, and they'll be a very happy health share member. Be'ezus Hashem.
Rav Moshe Katz, CEO, United Refuah Health Share. Maybe end up with a bracha as a kain.
We're going into Yimei Rachamim, about to start Slichas, not too far away, Elul. We wish all of Klal Yisrael a kasiva v'chasima teva, gezunt keben shtiyar, a year that the only health expenses that we incur should be that of simcha, that a preventative care should be a year of nachas from everyone's children, a year of bracha, a year of Yeshua, a year of parnasa teva. We should all be zeche to kasiva v'chasima teva, gezunt keben shtiyar, and be askel tzedek. Thank you, Yitzchak. You should be gebenched.
Amen.
Everything you do.
Amen.
And thank you for bringing United Refuah to mind your business. Can I offer a promo code for your viewers?
Sure.
We'll make it through the end of December. We'll give an extended promo code for Mind Your Business. Use the code MYB2026 at the time of application only. It must be included when you submit the application. And you'll receive a $100 refund off your $125 application fee once your application is approved.
Yeshikayach.
Thank you. For new memberships only, no add-ons.
Right.
Okay. Be a pleasure. Thank you. Bracha and atzlacha to everyone. And I appreciate anyone who stayed till the end of the episode. I hope you got something out of it. Atzlacha and bracha to all of you.
Amen. Yeshikayach.
Kol tov yitzchak.
What an amazing episode. Wow. I'd love to get your feedback in the comment section. And looking forward for an upcoming edition of Mind Your Business.